Would you join me in prayer? God, we've heard your holy word, and we ask you to speak to our hearts. Help us to know your presence and to hear your voice and to be empowered. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, when you're planning worship, you have worship teams that get together and plan at different places and shape. And I read of this one worship team, this pastor, it was essentially the organist in him. And he said, when I finish my sermon, that organist hung on his every word also. He said, when I finish my sermon, I will ask for all those in the congregation who want to contribute an extra $400 to their pledge, to their church mortgage. I'll ask them, all those that want to do it, to stand up. And he said, in the meantime, he said to the fellow, it was his Tim, he said, and I want you to be sure to have just the appropriate music. Well, the organist was a little put off by the stress of this, so he said, so you want the appropriate music for just at that moment? And you ask them if they wanted to stand to commit. He said, yes. And he said, well, what is it? And the pastor said, play the Star Spangled Banner. In any case, we're looking at stewardship, and what we're not looking at is methodologies or ways to get you to give something. We want to talk to you about just thanking God. Thanking God for the opportunity to give your gifts, whether they be financial, whether they be arts and crafts, whether they be music, whether they be kindness. Whatever they are, it's about giving your gifts. And in 1 Peter it says, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others. The gift that you have received. There was a Sunday school teacher, she was teaching a bunch of 10-year-olds, and she was very much into mission. And in fact, I can remember when I was a kid, we had a mission can that we always put extra money in for mission. In any case, she was telling me, she was trying to psych them up, and she said, if you had $1 million, would you give it to missionaries? And the 10-year-old said, yes. She said, if you had $1,000, would you give it to missionaries? And they all said, yes. And they're starting to get with the program. And how about $100? And they all shouted, oh, yes, we would. And she said, would you, if you had $1, would you give it to missionaries? And 7 of the 8 boys in her class said, yes. But Johnny didn't. So she said, Johnny, why didn't you say yes this time? He said, well, I have $1. It's a good thing that that only applies to children. But what this scripture is talking about is each of you should use whatever gift you have received and to serve others and to serve our risen Lord. You have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. Then it says, if anyone speaks, do it as the very word of God. If anyone serves, do it with the strength of God, the God who provides. And I was mindful of a story Mother Teresa, who was such a wonderful example for all, she was in Australia, and she was staying at this, you should call it like a monastery, and they assigned one of the newest abbots to go with her on a trip. And this new young man was so psyched. He was going to escort Mother Teresa all around, and he thought of all the questions that he could ask her and all that he could learn from her. And so the first day they began, she was nonstop visiting and talking and praying with people. And till they got back, and he realized he hadn't a chance to say one word to her other than good morning and good night. So did it a second day, and it was the same thing. And finally, it was his duty to take her back to the airplane. And that was especially frustrating to him. So he said, if I pay my own fare back to your next trip to New Guinea, can I come on aboard and learn from you? And she said, you have enough money to pay for your own trip to New Guinea? He said, oh, yes. Then she looked at him and she said, then give that money to the poor and you'll learn more than I could teach you. It is so often that we look for the right book to give us insight or the right words from someone or example. And what God is calling us is to use what we've been given to serve others in the way and opportunities God has provided. I can remember when I went through communicants class, and then sometime thereafter, maybe 6 months later, I really committed my life to Jesus Christ. It was 54 years ago. It was a while ago. And I wanted just to give myself to God. And it wasn't a burden. It was a privilege to give oneself to God. And as I went along the way in faith, there were so many things that I didn't know how to do. So often I didn't do them until some point in time there was no one else to do them, and I did them. And when I did them, I learned with God's help I could do them. I just simply had to do what God gave me the opportunity to do. And even if I failed, God could bless that. And so we take that which we have, and we use it for God. And it's a good thing. In the passage from Joshua, it's Joshua 24. It's a passage where Joshua has essentially been used of God to lead the people to conquer the promised land, to put people in place, to provide all the opportunities they need. And he figures it's time to let others in the group that seek to follow the Lord to take this leadership in that. But he couldn't help but reflect. And he wanted them to understand what he had learned. And he says, now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. And he says, and get rid of the junk that gets in the way. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourself this day whom you'll serve. There was a period of time where they had a bunch of formal gods, idols and stuff they worship. We have idols that just advertised on TV and other places. And he was saying, choose where your happiness is. If it's undesirable, go another way. But he already knew what was desirable. He already knew that which was a blessing. And then he talks to them, and this isn't so much a sermon. It is a challenge, but it's a gleaning what he learned over the years, over the privilege of serving God. Just to remind you, Joshua started out as functionally a servant to Moses. He was the gopher. Now, by the way, I think it would have been pretty cool to be a gopher for Moses. But sometimes we're a gopher for God or a gopher for others. And he begins, as he comes close and learns from Moses, the possibility of coming close to God and the wonder of serving them. So he finally says to them that you make this choice, but he says, as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Sometimes we look at that and it seems like a sacrifice. It seems like a sacrifice. But what it is it's the most incredible opportunity going. But I'm talking a little bit more about tithing this year and giving because it has been a joy for 54 years to give myself to God. When I first started, I was freshman in high school, I didn't have much of anything to give to God other than myself. And then when I was in the military, then I could give a portion of my income to God at the time. And I've done that over the years. And when Ann and I, who's with us today, when Ann and I began a married life, it was a joy for us as a couple to give ourselves to God and to you. It was never about salary for me. There were opportunities along the way that were financially advantageous, perhaps. But nowhere the joy of giving myself and giving ourselves. And later, it became our prayers that our kids would want to give themselves, and by the grace of God, much of that has happened. And I want to say this to you because Joshua says, as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. He's just saying, this is great stuff. This is the best decision I ever made in my life. And while I had a lot less to give than Joshua, I know with Joshua the privilege of giving. And the people hear this, and they saw the example that Joshua lived. Not just how God got him out of a lot of trouble, which, by the way, God got me out of a lot of trouble along the way. But the people respond, oh, no way, we're not going to follow this advice. We too will serve the Lord because he is our God. It's a choice that works. I stress it more now than ever because the choice works. It's so much less about trying to raise money or recruit people to do things. One of the great joys in this church is a bunch of you at different times will come to me and say, can we do this? And I almost always say, praise the Lord, let's do it. I say, let's do it, although I step back and let them do it. And then they say, oh, thank you for letting me work so hard on this or to give this gift. And it's because there is joy in giving yourself to God. And I covet that for you. I've known some people who were super rich. I had an associate, sort of friend, who was a billionaire once. He's passed on. His billions are still here. But I was meeting with him once, and he was telling me about his foundation that gave away money. And you would think it was like Christmas. And he would tell me the joy that wasn't giving. And one of the funny ironies is if you read the life of a bunch of people that gave away a lot of money in open foundations, a lot of them didn't start out so nice. I mean, they really didn't give themselves away. They ran over people. They climbed up over people. They took advantage of people. They did whatever was necessary to reach their goal. And then, for example, Rockefeller, he describes how he had the most money of anyone, certainly in the U.S., if not the world, and he was unhappy and unhealthy. And he just started to give some of it away, and then he gave more and more away. And then he enjoyed life again. And it works like that. It's ironic when he started giving money away. Part of the reason he did it, he didn't think he'd be around long. But he gave money away till he died at 98. I don't think he gave it away so he lived to 98. But I think part of the reason he lived is because he gave it away. Just the joy of being used of God. In the passage in 2 Timothy, it speaks of being reminded of Timothy's sincere faith about his mom and his grandmother and how that faith lives in you. For this reason, I remind you to fan into the flame the gift of God. And those areas where we give ourselves, as we just let the wind of God come into our lives, the Spirit of God, it is such a blessing. And it even goes on to say how to do this, which is in you through the laying on of hands. Now, if we had a bunch of preachers here, we could accomplish very little by arguing what that means. But simply put, the laying on of hands means to lay on of hands. I can remember over 40 years ago when they laid hands on me to become a pastor. I can remember 43 years ago when I came back from Germany as their counterintelligence agent. And people were so happy to have me back home. They didn't really know me, and they wouldn't have. And they laid their hands on me to pray for me, that God's blessings would be upon me. The laying on of hands is the hands of the body of Christ. It's the hands of the body of Christ that give themselves away to others, and in that example, make you want to do the same. And that's what we're called to do. And it's really cool to do. It's really fun to do. I can remember a woman telling me about being in Malawi. And a group from the presbytery went, not here, someplace else. And while they were there, the people threw a big banquet for all of these people from the U.S. that had given a bunch of money and were visiting. And the food was magnificent. And in fact, one of the ladies told me, she said, I didn't think they had this much money to be able to afford this kind of meal because it's a pretty poor community. And so as they were eating the meal, they noticed that none of the people from the town were eating. And And so this one lady, she said, she went to them and she said, well, why aren't you eating? And she said, because we gave you our meals. They had taken all the food they would have eaten that day and created a feast for their guests. And then the lady from Pennsylvania, she said, well, can't you join us? Part of the gift that we're seeking to give you as brothers and sisters in Christ is that we're doing without so that you can have this experience of our caring. The ladies that watched and the men that watched probably had more joy than those who ate. But those who ate came away what it meant to be part of a body of Christ internationally and to care. Goes on to say, he has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given to us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time. Well, I need to go over a couple things with you. I guess you could call this sort of business. They call it retirement, but for me it's redeployment. Just for the fun of it, could you say redeployment? Okay. My redeployment, and I want it to be a redeployment when the time comes, because the absence of a formal job does not mean that God does not have a job for me to do. We'll see where he redeploys. Oh, about 5 months ago, I told you about planning for that redeployment. Recently, I went to a fair amount of training at Pittsburgh Seminary about the best way for transitioning for this church. I went to lectures morning, afternoon, and evening. It made me glad I wasn't in school again. But I also prayed and considered. And after much thought, I talked to this session. And my formal preaching schedule will run through Christmas Eve. After Christmas Eve, I will go on an unpaid, somewhat less formal, sabbatical, a time so that others can begin to assume the leadership here so that the person who follows won't have to follow me as directly. I will be coming back in January for several days so that I can do one last visit to any sick or shut-ins. I would feel bad if they didn't know that they were important to me. I also would be coming back so I could spend a couple days just praying for you all. It has been a privilege to give myself to you and Anne as well. But we figure this is the leading of God for that transition. Come January, to facilitate that transition, the Reverend Don Wright, familiar to most all of you, He will moderate the session and provide leadership for the church as long as is needed, beginning for 1st of January. I will be back in a date yet to be set, either probably the 11th or the 18th of January. I'll come back prior to that so I have some time to visit and to pray. And then whatever meal or gathering that we could have a more formal time of farewell. Because I will be in sabbatical, if any major thing came up, I would still be able to return as head of staff and moderator. I don't envision that being necessary, but once a shepherd, always a shepherd. And I guess that means that I think you're sheep. I don't know if you're mangy sheep, but you do have a mangy shepherd. I would say, again, it's been a huge privilege to serve you. I will be preaching through Christmas Eve. I will be away a couple Sundays in between that. The Sunday before Christmas, my son will be home from Germany. So if I want to see my grandson, I will take that time off. And I want to see my grandson. I will also be away next week because I'm going to... we bought a house about 3.5 months ago. And I did see that house with the realtor. Ann lives there. But I'm going to go see what my house looks like and do some preparation for the transitions from there. I cannot help but reiterate that we'll still have some more Sundays, but it has never been a burden to serve you. Maybe once or twice when you're irritable. But never when you've been in need. Never when you've been in need, no matter how great that need. To be there and to be with you and to lay hands, usually join hands to pray, was, is, and will always be a privilege for me. Most of you know that when you tell me that you like something I did, I have pretty much a standard reply. Any of you know what it is? The summary of our 7 years together is in an old gospel hymn that we'll now sing. It doesn't say praise God, but it says